You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, well, everybody ready?
Amen.
Got your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
Turn with me to John 2. We'll start there and see where we wind up. I want to start teaching today, and it may be one sermon, it may be a series, I don't know, on the miraculous, the supernatural. Might say it that way, the fitness of miracles, the logic of miracles, the case for miracles, as it were. There's two camps of people in the world. Now, obviously, we can say they're believers and unbelievers. I know that. I understand that. And I'll eventually get to that point later. But there are people that believe in the supernatural and the people that don't. People that, there's a book written by C.S. Lewis called Miracles, where he starts his case out that way. He talks about people that do not believe in any God at all, that everything that is, the world, the universe, is what it is, and that's all that exists, a real closed system. And nothing interrupts that, nothing moves in the midst of that. There is no creator, no God. They're just naturalists, as opposed to those that believe in a God or gods or the supernatural. They would be supernaturalists. And he makes a case for miracles, as it were, from that book. It's an excellent book. I've read it several times. Read a lot of his books, but anyway, that's kind of what I want to talk about here, or start out talking about, is first of all the logic of miracles. I mean, if you believe in a God, let's start right there. You are a supernaturalist, okay?
Yeah.
I haven't even got to Christianity yet. If you just believe there is a God, you've already stepped into that room of the possibility of the miraculous. Miracles are possible whether you believe they happen or not, if you believe in God, because you're saying, first of all, there's a supernatural being out there. And if you take the next step and believe He created the world, which I do and you do and all of us here do, then you believe that we're living in a miraculous creation that was made from a supernatural world or being called God.
Amen.
So you're not safe from miracles. Are you with me? To admit God is already to admit the possibility of miracles. You've already stepped over that threshold. Now, whether God does miracles or not, then you need to take a little step further. Maybe He did make a world that just is closed. Maybe He did make a world that He never intervenes in, never interrupts, and never steps in. Maybe He made a world that He doesn't have anything to do with at all. Maybe He did. That's not the God of the Bible, but maybe you believe God made it and it's on its own, as it were. Then you could believe that there's a supernatural God, yeah, you know, that made everything. But now we're all on our own. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you choose to believe the Bible, then you must believe that God does intervene. He has many times. He has over and over throughout the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And miracles have never stopped happening. Nor have they ceased to be needed. Hallelujah, somebody. If you believe all there is just what you see and just natural processes and physical laws and so on and so forth, and all you believe is just what you hear on the news. Well, I'm praying for you if that's all you believe. But if you believe that's all there is, and see what you do. If you don't believe in the supernatural and don't believe there's a possibility of the miraculous taking place, then you couldn't believe in prayer, because every answered prayer is a miracle. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You couldn't believe in that, because that's beyond the natural. But then you're just left to your senses. You're just left to what you see. And you have no invisible means of support. I love it because I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe they are very much aware and very much involved and very much moving in the earth today through prayer, through faith, through confession, and so on and so forth, commitment on my part and your part. I believe that. Therefore, I'm never left at the mercy of circumstances. I'm never left at the mercy of the world and all that I see. I'm never left at the last report the doctor gives me or the economist gives me. I'm never left at that because I have invisible means of support. I believe in the miraculous. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the Bible. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. And as far as miracles are concerned, as far as the use of miracles in the Bible, Jesus appealed to them. He said, if you don't believe my words, believe my works. Are you with me? Now, that's what separates us, Christianity, from practically every other religion in the world, if you want to think about it. I mean, if you think of the Muslim faith, not only do we have a different leader, Jesus as opposed to Muhammad, who there are just worlds of difference between those two. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died for our sins. Are you with me? Amen. Muhammad was just a man. Muhammad just preached a way. He didn't claim to be the way. You know, Muhammad was just a prophet. Jesus is God. Not only is there a huge difference between the leadership there, but there's a huge difference between the doctrine there. I mean, in the Muslim faith, you don't have to believe in miracles other than just creation and God got it all started. Muhammad never did any miracles. In fact, they don't believe in miracles or pray for miracles in the Muslim faith. You don't have miracles. You don't even need a miracle to be saved. You just need to submit. You just submit. That's submission. That's what Islam means, is submission. If you just submit to the laws, then you have a chance of maybe, you know, going to heaven. But Christianity is not that way. You can't even be saved without a miracle in Christianity. And although Muhammad was not a miracle, Jesus was a miracle. Jesus was born of a virgin, which is a miracle. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless, holy life, which Muhammad did not. But to live a perfect, sinless life would have been a miracle. And Jesus did that, and that's a miracle. And then when they killed him, he rose from the dead again. That doesn't happen all the time. He came back out of the tomb. The tomb's empty. That's a miracle. It's called the resurrection. Are you with me? That's a miracle. See, if you're going to believe in Christianity, you have to believe in miracles, because there is no Christianity without miracles. Amen. No such thing. The virgin birth, the sinless life, the death, burial, and resurrection. And then just follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as he walks the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, and see how big a part miracles, signs, wonders, healings, supernatural is in his ministry. He didn't just teach good teaching. He didn't just use good words and had some wisdom. He's often accused of that, of being a good moral teacher. Well, I believe in all the moral teaching of Jesus. I believe he was a moral teacher. Are you with me? Well, he's more than that. I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. You hear people say things like that. Still not really believing in him. Yet you can't separate from him miracles, signs, and wonders. His ministry was filled with them. He went about their villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching in their villages, and healing all the sick that they were therein. The Bible tells us. So, you know, you just can't separate the supernatural from Jesus. It's impossible to do that. You can't separate the miraculous from him. You can't separate it from the early church. You can't separate it from Peter. You can't separate it from Paul. You can't separate it from the book of Acts. The miraculous has always been around in the church. It always, you know, little by little, pockmarked throughout the Old Testament miracles that took place. Boy, when Jesus came on the scene, I mean, there was just, it ramped up. It was like miracles on steroids, you know. I mean, no longer do we have a few here and there. We've got them everywhere he goes, raising the dead and casting out devils and healing the sick and stopping storms and turning water into wine and multiplying fishes and getting gold out of fishes' mouth, walking on the water. Hello, somebody. I believe we need the supernatural. I believe we need the miraculous. You're not going to rely on what you don't believe in. That's why it's important to have a strong biblical-based foundation in miracles, that you believe in miracles, you believe in the supernatural, that God does intervene, God does step in. You know, it's not that God violates natural law. He made the world. When God does a miracle, it fits the world. Blind eyes see, and they see like all other eyes see. You know, legs are miraculously healed, and people walk around on them just like everybody else walking around on legs. Are you with me?
Amen.
See, there's a soundness to the miracles in the Bible. There's a fitness to the miracles in the Bible. And we're talking about supernatural movings of God, miracles and answers to prayer. God doesn't come in here and necessarily violate physical law. He doesn't just, you know, overrule it. He just steps in, and whatever he does fits. He doesn't turn pumpkins into coaches and rats into coachmen. Those are fairy tales. Are you with me? But he does multiply fish and multiply bread. Are you out there? And make things work that are messed up. Legs and eyes and ears that are messed up. He heals them, makes them work, makes them fit. Y'all out there? They all have the sign of the Creator on them. They have the mark of the Maker. The miracles of the Bible. And God does step in. Thank God he does. You know, we're not in a fish bowl here where nobody ever gets in but the fish. We have a God who can step in, put something in a fish bowl. He's not dependent on the fish bowl, but He can step in any time. Isn't that right? That's all that miracles are. And when He does, it just fits the fish bowl. It's perfect. Gets wet like everything else gets wet.
Amen.
But if He wants to put some food in there, He can do that.
Sure.
If He wants to put a new pump in there, He can do that too. We're still in the fish bowl. We can't get out. We're there. But we can have help from outside the fish bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's all miracles are. Someone outside, God, steps inside. And there are reasons why He does that. We know that because the Bible tells us how to pray and how to believe and how to get God's help and on our side and get miracles and signs and wonders moving on our behalf. Hallelujah. Are you out there?
Yes.
Okay, I got one, yeah. Y'all found John 2. John's saying, I just want to talk about the logic of the soundness, the fitness of miracles. You're not wild to believe in miracles. My goodness, you believe God made the earth. That's a miracle. You believe Jesus died for your sins. That's a miracle. He rose from the dead. That's a miracle. Woo! Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe He answers prayer. That's miraculous. I believe I'm not limited to the last report I hear in the natural from natural people about natural things. I believe in the supernatural. I believe there's somebody outside my fishbowl.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Notice what it says here in John 2. This is, of course, after Jesus turned water into wine and did some miracles there. In fact, that was the first miracle that He did. He turned water into wine. It says here in the 23rd verse, says, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles or signs which He did. Well, there's a benefit right there. Obviously, these weren't demonic things. These were things that actually drew people to Jesus. They actually believed in Him when they saw miracles that He did. Miracles are like bait. They're like proof.
Yeah.
Proof of the pudding, as it were. Jesus said in one place, He said, well, Mark where He talked about the man. He said, just forget all that. He said this. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, take up your bed and walk. Hello. Mark 2nd chapter, the man let down through the roof. Remember that Mark 2? Man was let down through the roof. He had four friends that took him up on the roof, took the roof apart, let him down through the roof. And Jesus saw him. He said, son, your sins be forgiven thee. It says when Jesus saw his faith, son, your sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain scribes, Pharisees there that said, who is this man that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus said, why reason ye these things in your heart? For whether it's easier to say to the man, take up your bed and walk, or say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, take up your bed and walk. And he took his bed up and walked, and they glorified God and said they had never seen it on this fashion.
Amen.
Now in that case, the miraculous was a proof. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say to thee, take up your bed and walk. I'd submit to you every single miracle that takes place, every answered prayer that takes place is proof that God forgives our sins, that God has made a covenant with us, that God is real and we are saved and going to heaven. It's a proof that the rest of it's true. It's a proof that those scriptures on eternal life are true. Are you with me? If Jesus appealed to them, then why would we not appeal to them? If Jesus had them in His ministry, why would we not have them in ours? Shouldn't we strive to be Christ-like?
Yes.
Don't you want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
Well, I just say what He said. I don't do what He did. Well, you need to do what He did and say what He said.
That's right.
Because what He did was no more holy than what He said. And what He said is no more holy than what He did. Who are we to make that distinction? Oh, that's just too holy to do what He did. I'll just say what He said. Hello? He actually put them both in the same category. In fact, when He sent His disciples out, He didn't tell them just preach. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. In My name, they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. They drank a deadly thing, shall not hurt them, take up serpents. That's the power of the devil. Hallelujah. And we see them doing just that in the book of Acts. I mean, they didn't just preach. Acts 3rd chapter, Peter and John come up on a man at the gate, beautiful. It was a crippled man, and he was asking for alms, and Peter fixed his eyes on him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk." And he took him by his right hand, jerked him up. The Bible says he leaped and danced and shouted, and they all ran together and glorified God. And then he preached a message to them, and they listened. Are you out there? There was a proof. See, the miraculous was part and parcel to the gospel. Miracles, answered prayer, deliverances, changed lives. And you know, I would submit to you, even in our own lives and even in our own church, we could point to many miracles if we just stop and think about it. If we just stop and meditate and reflect. Now, just looking at Whitney, I remember when Whitney was born. I remember what the doctor said. I know Henry wanted to remember. First they said she wouldn't live. Then they said she wouldn't be normal. Then they said she'd have brain damage. Then they said never stretch her hands out. I mean, just one thing. And each report just got one thing after another. And I'll tell you, Henry and Wanda said, "No, no, no, she's healed in Jesus' name. She's healed in Jesus' name." I mean, they did not back off God's word. They laid claim to the promise of God. And every one of those things turned out to be a lie. How many years ago was that? How many? 25 years. And we're looking at a miracle that took place 25 years ago. Now, the doctors weren't intentionally lying. They were telling them what they saw. They were doing their best. We're not against them. We're four hospitals and four doctors. But we had another report here. We believed in the supernatural. Believed in the miraculous. And I'll tell you, Henry and Walter were strong on that. They were strong. They didn't back off. Thank God Henry had gotten saved just a couple years before that. Or two or three years before that. And got in International Outreach Church. And believed in the supernatural. And believed in the miraculous. Hallelujah. Because of that, Whitney's here today. Lord. Whitney works in a food bank. I see her at Walmart over there. You probably see her. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Woo! Now, don't tell me miracles don't work. Don't tell me they're not around. Supernatural's not happening. It's happening all the time. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. Too late. Can't convince me. I had too many miracles already. I think of our children. I think of Cassidy. You know, what a miracle, Cassidy. Well, the doctor came out and, you know, it was just an amazing story. I know Chris shared that with you all, and we were all there experiencing it, all of us in the waiting room. Didn't even really know all the details, you know, when we found out later, you know, that Cassidy had stopped breathing completely. They had to do CPR on her when she was born. The doctor said she'd have brain damage and all these things that the doctor said. And Chris said, "No, no, no. I appreciate all you do. Thank you for what you're doing."
Yeah.
But we're believing God she's going to be fine and healed in Jesus' name. We believe in miracles. Came out and told us, and we all cried and believed God.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with crying. Nothing wrong with quivering. Yeah. Nothing wrong with your knees knocking. If your knees knock, kneel on them. If your lip quivers, quiver out the word. Quiver out Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're shaking. What matters is what you say and what you believe. Doesn't matter how you feel. Scared? Been scared lots of times. Felt like a shell of a man. Many times. Fear, feel it all over me. Feel it in my hair, you know. Just don't act on it. Don't act on it. Heart racing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had all that. You've had it. You'll have it again. But see, trust God.
That's right.
Let your words be in line with His words.
Right.
Set your face like a flint. Look to the Lord. God is a miracle-working God. He's a supernatural God. You are not limited to the natural. You're not limited to the final report in the natural. We've got a report that God has given us. Now, whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. I believe in Jesus, praise God. A supernatural Jesus. A Jesus who came out of heaven to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did miracles after miracle, sign after sign, wonder after wonder, healed the sick, raised the dead, and rose from the dead himself, and sat down on the right hand of God, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and sent us out to do the same things He did. I believe God's still alive. I believe the Word's still true. I believe Jesus is still moving today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have no reason to fear or be discouraged or give up or quit.
No way. Okay.
I believe in the supernatural.
Amen.
I am a supernaturalist.
Yep.
Not a naturalist. Put me in that other camp over here with a supernaturalist. I know there's some funny, weird supernatural out there, but I believe in a real supernatural. The biblical supernatural. The Jesus supernatural. Hallelujah. The miraculous. Praise God. We have reason to believe. Amen. So, they came to Him when they saw the signs, the miracles that He did. I tell you what, people start getting healed. We start seeing signs, and we have people get healed. We need to talk more about it, I guess. You know, we need to exalt and praise God and celebrate those things. People will repeat what you celebrate. No question about that. They'll repeat what you praise. And so, you know, in our exalting God, we ought to exalt what He does, exalt Him in what He does. I think of the miracle of Travis. Travis wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a miracle. You say, well, he's got some doctor help. Well, those were miraculous things that took place in his life, that kidney transplant, pancreas transplant. Just getting those and matching those was a miracle. Just him living and surviving all that's a miracle. Hallelujah. I know I'm missing lots of y'all. I mean, so don't take it personally. It's just my mind's just not perfect. So I can't remember everybody. But I know, just looking around, you could stand up and talk about miracles.
Yeah.
You know, Vanjie's been healed, completely healed. Hallelujah, of cancer.
Amen.
God healed her. She's alive, beautiful. I look at Vanjie, I thought, what a trophy of grace. God's a miracle-working power of God in Vanjie's life. She's alive and healthy, and, you know, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Now, why would you be discouraged? Why would you give up? Why would you quit? What is it that you're afraid of? What do you think's not going to work out for you? Do you think God's going to quit doing miracles all of a sudden? Or just decide He doesn't like you anymore? God loves you. He's for you. Look around. There's a lot of people gotten miracles. You've gotten some yourself. Wow. See, looking at those and thinking about those and meditating those will help your faith. When they saw the miracles, they believed. It's only when I get my focus off those things. I think of my own life. Just saving me was a miracle. Lord, what I came out of? I mean, for God to even notice me, even to recognize me, and then save me, whoo, and then call me to pray. Are you kidding me? You would never pick me out to be your pastor. Never in a million years would you have ever done that. You had never looked at me in my afro with drugs and all those things I did, wild lifestyle I lived. And you'd never say, well, there's my pastor. But God saw that. God saw that in me. What a miracle. Goodness. I mean, I didn't even want to do all this. I really didn't want to do any of this, you know. I do now, but I mean, I didn't then, because God knew more of what I wanted than I knew what I wanted. He knew what would fulfill me and complete me more than I knew what could fulfill me and complete me. And when I submitted to that, I found joy. I found peace. I found what I was looking for. I needed a little direction. I needed someone to help me. I needed a hand to guide me along life's way. God does that. Hallelujah. Supernatural God. Thank God He stepped in my fish boat and just messed up the water and changed the whole scenery. Put a whole new pump in there and everything. He changed my whole life. He stepped in, see? Okay, third chapter. Y'all found it? My goodness. Let me read through it real quickly, and I'll just wrap this up. I know I'm just sharing stories, but we're sharing Scripture, and y'all getting it?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Then, first verse, third chapter, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God be with him. Y'all see that? Now, he had a little more sense than we do. In most churches today, when a miracle takes place somewhere else, in many churches, not most, in many churches they'll say, you better watch that, that's the devil. But here, when a miracle took place, they recognized it as God. I mean, we've got churches calling other churches devil churches. Just amazing me. Churches call other churches heretics because they have healings and miracles. Or they speak in tongues. Or they have gifts of the Spirit flowing or whatever. Churches that believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Churches that believe in the virgin birth and the sinless life that Jesus lived and the sinless sacrifice that he gave and the resurrection and seated at the right hand of God. Churches that believe that the only way to heaven is Jesus, that only he could pay the price for our sins and wash us in his blood. And yet, we believe in the supernatural, which Jesus did it to also, incidentally. And all of his disciples did too also, incidentally. But all of a sudden, we're heretics, or we're a cult, or we're of the devil because we believe in the supernatural. Are you kidding me? You can't even be saved without the supernatural. Terrible inconsistency there. And we're pro-church. Don't take this to blast any churches. I've got a good relationship with a lot of pastors in our town of different denominations, and I'll tell you, if they name the name of Christ, if they preach Jesus, I am for them. They do not have to speak in tongues or even believe in healing. I believe they're going to miss out on something. They're going to miss out on healing, for one thing. But they're going to go to heaven if they love Jesus, and they're my brothers and sisters. And are you with me? So we're not in competition. Don't think that. But I mean, the idea that you just exclude a church or exclude a movement or exclude a people because they believe in the supernatural, which the Bible teaches, when they do believe in Jesus, which we do. You do not have to speak in tongues to be saved. You do not have to believe in healing to be saved. You do not have to believe in all those supernatural things. You do have to believe in the supernatural power of God to save you. And the supernatural power of the blood to wash your sins away. And the supernatural power of God to bring Jesus into the world through a virgin. You do have to believe that. And the supernatural God who created the world, you have to believe that. Are you with me? You do have to believe in the supernatural to be saved. Are you out there? So why would you stop there? That's what I'm trying to say. Why would you stop with all those supernatural things that are in the Bible and not believe the other supernatural things that are in the Bible? Something to think about, amen? It's interesting that he said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And then Jesus turns right around and says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow, that wasn't what he's asking. That's what he needed to hear. Jesus always cut to the chase, went right to the point. But it's interesting, he said that no man can do these miracles. Jesus actually turned around and said, well, I'll give you the big miracle, the one you really need to get a hold of, being born again. So what does Nicodemus do? He says, well, how can a man be born the second time when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Natural. He's thinking natural. Well, salvation is not a natural thing. Salvation is a supernatural thing. Salvation is not something man does. Salvation is a miracle. It's what God does. It's not being born again here, being born from beneath. That's our problem. It's being born from above. It's someone stepping into our fishbowl. Getting born from above, not the second time by a woman again. No, not reincarnation. No, not that. See, we're not Muslims. We don't believe salvation can be attained by just being good enough. Salvation doesn't come from submission. We're not Buddhists that we just become one with the universe. All is good. Good is evil. Evil is good. All is good. No, we don't believe that. No. Supernatural salvation is what we're talking about. Salvation from above. Miraculous salvation. Salvation is a miracle. It's being born from above, not from this earth. It comes from the supernatural, not from the natural. It comes from above the earth. If you don't believe in miracles, period, you couldn't even be saved. Because salvation is a miracle. It's not something you did. It's not something I did. It's not of works that any man should boast. By grace are you saved through faith. And it's being born from above. Amen. You know, Peter came to Jesus in Mark 10th chapter, and he says, well, Lord, who then can be saved after something he'd said? And he says, well, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. So salvation is impossible with men, but it's possible with God. And then, of course, Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. I love that. Now, let me kind of bring it all together because we're running out of time here. When you think about the miraculous, I don't know, you may need a miracle. I don't know, you may need one right now. You may need one in your family. You may need one in your life. You may need one in your finances. I don't know. Quit making it so hard, all right? Quit making it so hard. You are saved by a miracle. You are saved by a supernatural moving of God in your life. It came when you called on Him. So you can only benefit from what you believe in. So as you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you were saved. You know, God's moving all the time, but not everybody believes in Him. My believing or my unbelief doesn't make or unmake God. God is what He is. God is a healer. God is a miracle worker. God is supernatural. God is a spirit. My unbelief shall not make His faith of none effect. He is whether I believe in Him or not. When I believe in Him, I don't make Him. He already was. But my believing in Him causes me to benefit from Him. You will not benefit from miracles if you do not believe in miracles. You will not benefit from the supernatural if you don't believe in the supernatural. You won't benefit from a good man's advice if you don't believe in his advice. You will not yield to their advice if you don't believe in their advice. You'll get no benefit from their advice because you don't believe in their advice. So to not believe in the miraculous is to cut ourselves off from another world. To cut ourselves off from the help that comes from heaven. You know, I've used it before, but this example, this is a chair. And really, it doesn't matter what you believe, it's a chair, no matter whether you believe or not. You could say, I don't believe that, I think it's a dog. Well, that's all right. You can believe whatever you want to. And my believing doesn't make it a chair. It is a chair. It is. But my believing does this for me. It causes me to benefit from the chair and causes me to come over here and sit down. God, that's a chair. That's pretty nice. Now, if you don't believe that, you can't sit down like I am. Are you getting it? Now, you can say, I don't believe in supernatural. Well, you have that choice. You don't have to believe in supernatural. You don't have to believe the miraculous. You can believe whatever you want to. But you're never going to benefit from what you don't believe in. And the Bible is very plain. There are miracles. And the Bible is very plain. There is a supernatural God who supernaturally moved in this earth. Supernaturally came down from heaven, saved me. 1975. Supernaturally came into my heart, and I was born from above. Supernatural miracle. Supernatural happened when I believed. And you know, as I keep believing, He keeps moving. He keeps stepping in my fish boat every time I call on His name. And when He moves, it begins to work, it fits. It fits creation because God made the world too. Y'all out there? Well, there is a logic to miracles. There is a case for supernatural. There is a sense of it in the Scripture. And you and I need to get a hold of it. We don't need to tone down. We need to tone up. We're living in days where we need the supernatural power of God in our lives. Amen? In our families, in our finances, in our bodies, in our lives. Hallelujah. So don't back up. Go forward. Don't give up. Don't shut it out. Open that door and leave it open. The door to the supernatural.